If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. It says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Come now," the voice of commitment. I think Moses presents unto us one of the most persuasive lessons concerning commitment to God that you'll find in the entire Bible. God challenged Moses to a seemingly impossible task in his life. God directed Moses in a manner which applies to all of us today. God is not satisfied with quote-unquote just saints. He wants us to live under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us less than total surrender is rebellion against Almighty God. Now you may camouflage it, you may paint it, you may sophisticate it, but if you're not living under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in known rebellion against God. That's what the Bible says. I want us to look, first of all, at the background of the lesson this morning. Then I want to deal with you about four questions. They're basic questions that all of us must consider for ourselves. Moses was 40 years of age when he viewed a fellow Hebrew being mistreated by an Egyptian. So the Bible tells us that Moses, in a fit of anger, goes and he kills this abuser. At that moment, he could have started a rebellion against Egypt. He could have tried to redeem Israel himself, but that was not God's plan. And certainly, Moses was not ready at that particular time in order to be the Redeemer. But the Bible tells us that Moses fled and he went into the backside of the desert and he stayed there for 40 years as a shepherd. And I think all of you know that being a shepherd, coming from a position of affluence and prestige and power in Pharaoh's household to become a sheep herder was certainly a letdown. And to be a shepherd and to tend sheep was despised by the Egyptian. Well, it seemed like a normal day on this particular day to Moses. He was going about his shepherding as he usually did, and God presents him with a strange, unusual message. He said, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside, and I will see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Lord, here am I." Now, I'm going to say that many times God speaks to us today, to you and to me. And one of the reasons why we may not hear God is that we're so caught up in doing our own thing. taking care of our own business that we don't have time for God, even when he tries to speak to us through a unique situation like this. We're in such a hurry that we just seemingly pass right on by how significant that the scripture stated, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And then Moses answered, Lord, here am I, here am I. God instructed him, don't draw near. Take off your shoes, for the place whereupon you are standing, he said, is holy ground. Then God began a conversation that would seemingly lead Moses to a lifetime commitment to him. Now, in this particular passage, God is calling Moses to commit himself as the leader, the statesman, the guide, the counselor, and the judge of Israel. Given to Moses was an almost impossible task under God's authority to rescue a people whom God was going to make of a great nation, and God was going to bring deliverance to the whole world through Jesus Christ through this nation. All of this was to be done through the nation of Israel. So after the absence of 40 years, now Moses was 80 years of age, a time when a lot of us look to the front porch in the rocking chair and we want to start taking life easy. But this is when he got up and he began to do the will of God. It was what we would call mission impossible. He would direct 3 million rebellious Israelites through a barren desert, virtually without any food or water, to a promised land that God had promised Abraham a long time ago. How could God expect anyone to do that? Well, the Christians of this nation, America, are abundantly supplied with many resources, both spiritual and material, and yet we're not making a good showing. In fact, it is a pitiful showing. And we heard some statistics last week in our revival meeting, and I might say a bunch of you missed it. And if, you know, we take a vote on whether to have revival or not on Monday or Tuesday night, absentee vote says we won't have them anymore. I just had to throw that in. But one of the pressing reasons why that we're making a pitiful showing is a lack of commitment to the God of this book. And to the God that has given us the great commission, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. So why are we not committed? Well, there are four questions that I hope you'll ask yourself as we go through them. And I think this will answer the problem that we're dealing with today about commitment to Jesus Christ. And they're all found here in the scripture that I read to you. The first question, who is this God? Who is this God who is challenging you and me to live a life of submission to his authority? I think it's interesting to notice what God said to Moses first of all. He said, Moses, do not come any closer. You're standing on holy ground. And he said, moreover, I am the God of thy father. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. how vital it was for Moses to know him. You see, one of the reasons why so many folks are not committed is they really don't know the Lord. All they know about him, they've been around church all their life, but they don't know him. And they don't know what his will is. So who is this God who requires final authority in your life and mine? Now, four times in this passage, God identifies himself in the same manner. He said, I am the God of thy fathers. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters. And he said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out to a land, unto a good land and a large land, unto a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And he said, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, having identified himself and having surfaced the problem, then God now directs Moses. He said, Moses, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses started to alibi. Now, I know that you'd never do this, but Moses said, God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. They shall say unto me, what is his name? He said, Lord, what am I going to tell them? What am I going to tell them? The people had fallen into idolatry, and they had begun to worship the pitiful gods of Egypt. And if Moses had said, God has sent me, then they would logically have said this, what's his name? What is his name? You know, when people come to us and ask us about the God that we serve, can we tell them about him? Can we tell folks that he is the one that died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins? That he created us, breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. He gave us a living soul, the soul that will never, ever die. Oh, we'll lay down this body, but the soul will never die. And one of these days, that soul is going to spend all eternity in one of two places, and that's heaven or hell. Moses, he said in verse 14, I want you to tell the people that I am that I am. When they ask you who has sent you, you tell them, I am has sent you. So God was starting and stating this particular thing. The Lord will say unto the children of Israel, the Lord, that is Yahweh, God, the Elohim of your fathers, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's the one that has sent you, or sent me unto you. He is the everlasting and the eternal God. He is the self-existent creator of the universe. He is the maker of all things. He is the one that is infinite in power, absolute in faithfulness. This is the God that has called me unto you. Why would the people of Israel be willing to follow a leader that 40 years before he ran and went on the backside of the desert to become a shepherd? Now, what kind of military strategy and knowledge does he have How would he rescue 3 million Hebrews? And what would they do going across a barren desert for those 40 years? What would they do for food and water, for equipment and provision? You see, that's why it's exceedingly important that Moses knew who God was. Brethren, God is the omnipotent one. God is the one who parts the seas. God is the one that sends the wind that dries out the ground to where they can go across safely. God is the one that brought the waters back together on the Egyptians. You see, God is the one that created the heavens and the earth, and we enjoy all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us this morning. We get up and we take for granted that we're going to have breath to breathe, that we're going to have blood coursing through our veins, that everything is going to be all right, and it'll all continue the way it's always gone. But I'm here to tell you, this whole world is getting ready to come to a screeching halt. And if you read the Bible, you know that it's true. All you have to do is read the Bible and compare it to the news and what's going on in the world today. And brethren, we're living in the lateness of the midnight hour. Well, then another question which presses upon us is, whom do I belong? How did God put this truth across to Moses? Moses reluctantly began to tell the Lord, now, Lord, you have to wait a minute. I'm not qualified. I'm not able to do what you're asking me to do. I'm nothing. Does this not sound like the natural man when God calls, not just in that day and time, but it's in every age? You see, I believe that Adam and Eve, and this is where we got the propensity for making excuse, I believe Adam and Eve went to the school or the college of life, and they learned excuses 1 and 2. And the teacher was Lucifer himself. I remind you this morning that all of us are skilled in making excuse. Thank you, Brian. You say, preacher, if you didn't holler so loud, you probably wouldn't lose your voice. So many times God calls us and he challenges us and we turn around and protest, Lord, now wait a minute, you've got the wrong person. You know, I mean, being a pastor, you know, when it comes time that you need folks to step up and go to work and take a job or position in the church and serve, and it's amazing how many excuses that you hear. Preacher, I can't do that. I can't talk. Preacher, I get nervous when I get up there. Don't you think God knows that? Now, he knew that Moses was not eloquent. He knew that he maybe stuttered a bit. He knew that he was slow of speech. He didn't have the self-confidence that he needed. But don't you know that God, who is omniscient, understands and knows all of that? And if God calls, then you will go in his power. He will help you to accomplish what he's called you to do. He'll never call you to do something he will not empower you to do. And so, old Moses was reluctant to go. You remember, Moses had something in his hand. When we're talking about to whom do we belong, Moses had a rod in his hand, and the Lord said, what's that in your hand? He said, Lord, it's a rod. It's a shepherd's staff. It's what I use for taking care of the sheep. And the Lord wanted to show him his power. And so he said, throw it down. And you remember when he threw it down that it turned into a serpent. I hate snakes. I remember when I was mowing, I lived over in Village Harbor for a number of years, and I was out there mowing. I had a push mower, and I rammed it up under this bush, and all of a sudden, a snake jumped out. It wasn't that long, but I was jumping and hollering and screaming, and anyway, needless to say, that snake went to snake heaven. But I remember when I was at the college in Oklahoma City, and I'd been out to meetings, and it was on Saturday, and I came back in, and I you know, I could have had somebody at the college mow the yard, but I always liked it to be so-and-so, and so I mowed my own yard. And anyway, I jumped on the riding lawnmower, and this neighbor had a pond built out back. And he had a white metal fence he had just put up, and I was so careful that I didn't bump that new white fence, and he'd holler at me. And I was going along, and I was looking there to make sure I didn't hit that fence, and all of a sudden, there was a big old snake about the size of my arm. I'm not kidding you. And it came up that fence, and it was head high with me. And I was going like this, trying to turn that wheel with one hand, you know, and maybe ward off the snake with the other one. I hate snakes. I got off that lawnmower and my legs were trembling, you know. You say, well, what happened to the snake? I don't know, and I don't care what happened to the snake. But the Lord told him, said, pick it up by the tail. I don't think he'd have to told me that. You know, if I was told to pick it up, it'd be by the tail. And when he picked it up, it became a rod again. And God said, I want to show through your ministry how that I will touch your life and what you do with miracle. He said, you can't do it, but I can do it through you. If you just let me, he said, I'll work in you and through you, and we'll accomplish all that I've called upon you to do. You can lead them out of bondage, and I'll take you all the way to the promised land. Oh, what a blessing. Why am I here? When I settle these questions, then my commitment issue should be determined forever. Why am I here? Well, why was Moses there? We have detailed the special providences of God in the life of Moses. He was rescued as a baby. He was reared as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was lifted to early prominence in Egypt. He escaped to the backside of the Midian desert where God prepared him those 40 years. He was called out of the burning bush, and he was instructed as to who he was and who God is and shall always be. God sifted him, he molded him, he made him, even though Moses may not have realized it. He was not marking time on the backside of the desert. I'm going to tell you, sometimes God has to get our attention before we'll do what he wants us to do. There's not a one of you here that hasn't faced death. I'm telling you, you may not have realized it. You might have been driving down the road. I remember one time we was on Interstate 40 in New Mexico. And we were in the passing lane when all of a sudden I looked up and I saw a vehicle go into the median coming right at us. Now, most of you know that I drive a little quickly. And if I'd been driving slower, I'd got hit. But I believe the Lord helped me that day to push that foot feet down just a little bit further. But all of us have come close to death. But I'm telling you, it's the mercy and the grace of God in our lives that allows us to live. And I'm telling you, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God calls us and calls us. He warns us and warns us. But I'm here to tell you, there's coming a day when it'll all come to an end. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. But he's striving today. He invites today. He calls you to him today. For today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. If you're here without the Lord, you need to come to him today. This is the day that he has set. Did he know that you were going to be here? You betcha. He's omniscient. Do you think that he allowed you to be here for a purpose? You bet. He wants you to hear the gospel, and he wants you to be saved. Will you bow your heads with us?